In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Louisa. She finds peace in everything in those holy divine will. Part 2. And we are on page 9, volume 10, February 3rd, 1912. And Jesus begins, "Therefore, if I, God, do not find purity, if I do not find upright working, and if I do not find love in the soul, the soul cannot be my mirror." So here are the three things that Jesus is expecting of us who are the little children of the holy divine will. He's expecting to find purity within us, upright working, and love. And that has to be the three elements in our soul, shining most beautifully for the Lord. And he says, you have to become my divine mirror in order to live in the divine will. And that's volume 1 through volume 10. How to become a divine mirror of Jesus. And when you read volume 1 through 10, you get to the understanding of what purity means, what upright working means, and what love means in the eyes of God. These are not human understandings, but divine understandings. So when we look at purity, Jesus is saying he's asking us to live the pure life of Christ's holy humanity, the pure life of Our Lady's holy humanity. This is what mankind should reflect, the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Our Lord has great plans, and he begins with purity. And when you look at Our Lady, that's why I love Our Lady of America. She says to Sister Mary Ephraim, right at the beginning in 1956-57, she says to her that the little children of America will bring purity to the world. So we're not talking about a purity that you usually think about. It's the pure life of Jesus that the children of America will bring to the world. Now, the children of America have a great blessing. When the opening of the cause happened in 1994 in Trani, Italy, with Archbishop Piccieri, he says to the American crowd there, it was more than half the people there at the opening of the cause of Louisa Picaretta. He says, "I don't know why you in America love Louisa so much." He says, "We in Italy don't even know her. And yet right here in this town, half the people here are Americans." And he said something like, "Maybe you should teach us about her." You know, it was he didn't say those words, but that's what he was joking about, like, You love her, you know, and why are you here? And I do believe that was the plan of God through Our Lady of America. This love that we have for Louisa is, I think, it's almost naturally, you look at Louisa and you see the love of Jesus, you see the love of Mary in this little soul. This little soul who stayed in bed for all her life, and when she could walk, Jesus said, "Stay in bed," and she stayed in bed. And she stopped eating, she stopped drinking. Why? Jesus told her to. The priest would every morning have to go to her room to bring her back to her senses, because she would turn into a solid rock. Nobody could lift her, nobody could move her, and until the priest said the blessing over her, "Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One." And then she would come back to her senses. She'd come back to being human, if you want to say, out of a petrified rock, to a human being breathing and heart beating. And she loved Jesus and Mary so much that when you look at Louisa, you see the love of Jesus, you see the love of Mary in her obedience to Jesus and Mary, as they taught her how to live their life, the life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. And it's not just doing the will of God like the saints, but living in the will of God that Jesus did, that Mary did. This is the great blessing that God wants to give to the church, give to the little children, the holy divine will. So Jesus says, the first thing you have to possess is purity. What does that mean? It means you depend on the Father completely, as Jesus did. Father, not my will, your will be done. You depend on the Father, as Our Lady did when the angel said, you'll be the mother of God. She says, how can this be? I don't know, man, but I want to please God in all things. You know, how can this happen? How can I do this? And the angel said, it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. Again, total docility, total surrender, total submission to the Father's will. And this is doing the will of God. But Jesus is now showing us how Our Lady lived in the will of God, how Jesus himself lived in the will of God. And he says, you must start out with purity. You must have that total dependency on God. When we look at Our Lady, what do we see? We see the triune God. She is the daughter of the Father. She's the mother of the Son. She's the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you look at the Blessed Mother. How glorious is this? How magnificent is this? And God is now saying, I want you to enter into this pure life of Jesus, this pure life of Mary, where you depend completely, completely, completely on Jesus, on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Our Lady did, as our Lord did. He trusted in the Father. This is the thing that is so astonishing. Our Lord loves us so much that he has given us this great opportunity. So the next part is upright working. What is upright working? That you're faithful to your duties. And what is our duties? The first duty we have is to God. As baptized Catholics, we keep holy the Sabbath. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. As faithful Catholics, we obey the commandments. We obey the teachings of the church. We know our catechism. We know sacred scripture. We know our tradition. Upright working. And with this, then you can go to your job. And you're not going to compromise on anything that is of God. You're going to be a faithful and trustworthy worker. And people will have confidence in you. Why? Because your confidence is in God. You're not going to do anything that's going to harm anyone in any way. Why? Because you're faithful to Christ and his church. And this means you don't break the commandments. This means you keep holy the Sabbath. This means that you are careful with your words. That's one thing that's frightening when you read scripture. Scripture says you will be judged for every idle word. We're not talking about a blaspheming word. That you will be really judged on. You know, you don't want to use the Lord's name in vain. You don't want to break the commandments. But when you're idle, and that's what Jesus says, those that talk and talk and talk, and it's not for the glory of God, he says, shows the emptiness of the soul. It's not about talking. It's about focusing on God. And to give praise to God. And Praise to God doesn't take very long to say. I adore God. I love him. I praise him. I thank him. I bless him. I worship him. It's not to talk about yourself. And again, this is another thing that Jesus is showing us in our language. It's to get rid of the word I, me, and mine. Again, you have to use it occasionally when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. That's the truth. It's to surrender to the priest your sinfulness so that you can be forgiven and receive the blessing of the priest, the absolution of the priest. It's not to be talking and talking and talking. It's to say, this is what I thought, this is what I said, this is what I did, this is what I failed to do, and I'm sorry. I don't want to live like this. And I need and I want your absolution. I want the forgiveness of my sin. And that's so beautiful that when you make a good confession, you are full of grace. Our Lord is looking for the souls that can reflect him, be a divine mirror. Jesus just didn't talk about anything and everybody. He talked about the Father. He talked about what the Father said to him. He reflected back to us everything that the Father taught him. And that's basically about the church too. Our job isn't to be, you know, gossiping. Our job is to reflect the life of Christ. This is what Jesus said. And then you reflect on it in your heart as Our Lady did. She reflected on all that was said within her heart. She didn't say much. She loved much, but she didn't say much. And that's how we have to begin to live when we want this gift of the divine will to reign in us. Our Lord has got great plans, but he's showing us how and what we should be doing. So the second thing he says to us is very clearly, not just purity, but upright working. You're diligent in your work. It doesn't mean you work until you drop. It means that you do what is necessary to bring your family to God. You do what is necessary to help your family trust in God. Our Lord is showing us that as the mystics and the saints have said, we're here to work and pray. And your prayer becomes your work too. Your work becomes your prayer. The two become one. And this is why you can wash the dishes and wash the floors and wash your clothes and till the land and mow the lawn. Your work becomes your prayer. To adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. Our Lord loves us greatly. So he says the last part, not only purity, not only upright working, he says, but love must be in the soul. Okay, what is love? Okay, if we don't have love in our soul, for everyone, it's because we haven't meditated on Christ crucified. We haven't stayed with the Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross on Calvary. We haven't learned from Jesus and Mary what true love is. He says that very clearly in the scriptures. My commandment is to you, so love one another as I have loved you. That's Christ crucified. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus says, until we have that heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified in our hearts, we will be judging people. We will be angry with our family, angry with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, always finding fault. And that's not how we're supposed to be living. We are supposed to be living as Jesus did. He knew Judas was going to betray him. And he tried his best to change his heart. knowing that he was going to betray the Lord. And what does the Lord say about him? It was better that he had never been born. What a harsh statement. Showing that for all eternity, it's not his sin, because Jesus could have forgiven him. If Judas had said, Lord, I am sorry, I am so sorry, the Lord would have said to him, you are forgiven. But it was because of despair. He was so discouraged that he despaired. That's putting your hands, putting your life in the hands of Lucifer. That's what despair is. That's why you have to fight discouragement as you would fight hell itself. The devil wants to destroy us. He wants us to destroy ourselves. And what we need to do is we need to turn to the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and soul, trusting in him, believing in our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, turning back to him so that he can transform us, transmute us, as he tells Louisa. And so that love has to be there. And it's a love of self, too. When you go to confession and you confess your sins, how you have hurt people, you also have to forgive yourself. God has forgiven you. And that might be a hard thing for people to do, is to forgive themselves. If Jesus has forgiven you, you have to forgive yourself as well. It's a lot of people go to their grave with real guilt, because the guilt didn't turn into a deeper sorrow. It was they couldn't forgive themselves. We all sin. Scripture says all fall, you know, all fall greatly from the glory of God. No one can get to heaven by themselves. It's only because of the grace of God, the love of God, his mercy. And even the saints say that when you're dying, the demons will be around you, trying to drag you into hell, yelling and screaming and saying, this is who you are. We know who you are. We know what you've done. And if you say, I've gone to confession and Jesus has forgiven me, he has forgiven me and I have forgiven myself. That is when the demons flee. But when you can't say that, they can pull you into hell. A good friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, said as he was dying, he says, you're not going to believe this, but I see demons at the foot of my bed. They're there. This is their last chance to pull you into hell by throwing at you all the sins that you have committed in your life and saying, you're not worthy of heaven. But if you have confession as part of your Catholic life, if you have Jesus' divine mercy as part of your life, you can say with confidence to anyone, even the demons themselves, I have confessed my sins and Jesus has forgiven me. And I forgive myself. No one has a right to heaven. But Jesus, by shedding his blood, shedding every drop of his blood, brings us to heaven. It's him alone. Remember what he says, for man it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. That's why we love Jesus so much. Look what he has done for us. He's given us the sacraments and sacramentals in the Holy Church. I know some good priests who have said to me, the only reason I'm in the church is for the sacraments and the sacramentals. It's the only reason I'm in the church. I mean, you listen to that and you go, well, the church is filled with everything. And they go, absolutely. But God can forgive me. And through the Holy Church. And God can bring me into heaven through the Holy Church. It's the sacraments and the sacramentals. Don't make the sacraments just on Easter and Christmas or even even heck, that's the strange thing I can't figure out. People wanting ashes and palms. The A&P Catholics. Ashes and palms. I don't understand that. You have exercised holy water. You have exercised salt. You have exercised oil. You have great metals to protect you. Blessed metals. Like the medal of St. Michael. He slay, you know, he crushes Lucifer. The St. Benedict medal. You know, the demons flee from the prayers of the medal that are on the medal. Yeah, St. George who slays the dragon. The miraculous medal, Our Lady. The demons hate this medal. You wear it around your neck and you're blessed. The scapular, holy moly, the scapular is so powerful. You know, it's the clothing of heaven. You're saying, I want to be clothed in divinity and I want to begin now. I want to begin now to wear the clothing of heaven. Adam was naked. He lost the clothing of heaven. You, Jesus, you're telling Louisa and telling us through our mother, Mary, you clothe yourself with the clothing of heaven, the scapula. So Jesus says these three things, purity, upright working, and love has to be in the soul. We have to, you have to forgive everyone. You have to forgive. The demons, they say to us, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Look what they've done. Look what they've said. Look what they... No. When you stand before God at the last day, there's not going to be anybody around you but you and Jesus. And Jesus is going to say, this has been your life. This is how you thought. This is what you said. This is what you did. This is what you failed to do. And you're going to say, you're right, Lord. This is my life. And then you can say, I lived a life, a faithful life, a Catholic life, by going to confession, turning to you, Lord, and begging you to have mercy on my soul. And I beg for it now. And again, the Lord, he's going to show us very, very clearly how much he loves us. And this is the last surprise of love that he really gives to every human being on the last hour of their life on earth. He says, if the soul isn't pure and upright working, has upright working and love in their soul, that soul cannot be my mirror. We have to reflect Jesus Christ. We have to reflect him. Him alone. How much love he has for us. He says, these are my mirrors in which I, God, make my glory be reflected. With all the others, even if they are virgins, not only can I not reflect myself, but even if I wanted to do so, I would not recognize myself in these souls. Even if they're virgins. If you don't have, as Jesus says, a purity of the life of Christ, that's why we go to purgatory. We go to purgatory to be purged of everything that is not of the holy humanity of Christ, of the holy humanity of Mary, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. If there's anything in our life that does not reflect Our Lady, it has to be burnt off us. It has to be gone. Why? Because once everything is gone, and this is why we're here on earth right now, to be purged of all that is not of the holy humanity of Jesus and Mary. Purged of all of that that's not of God. Why? So then you can begin to share in divinity. What the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. You can't possess a sharing in divinity with anything that's opposite the holy humanity of Christ. That's why at his resurrection, he says, this is the seed, he says to Louisa. For what? For the divine will to reign, to live in the divine will as God originally planned. The resurrected humanity, the resurrected of the holy humanity of Christ. Do you see what God's doing? He's showing us how to begin to live heaven. We begin to love heaven by being pure and upright and being in love with God and your neighbor. He says, so he can recognize himself in us. And then, and only then, can we begin to share in divinity. You see what God's calling us to? It's a new beginning for all mankind. And because of Louisa, this is coming. Because of Louisa, a new beginning is coming to the earth. Because of Louisa, we're going back to where we were before the fall, which means to live in God's image and likeness. It's really not new. It's what God wanted from the beginning. It's what Adam possessed, and he fell. It's what Jesus and Mary possessed. What do? They bring back that universal life to the world, the Catholic life. And now after 2,000 years, what does John Paul II tell us? Get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church and the new springtime of mankind. He says, St. John Paul II says, we're going to begin to live a new and divine way of holiness. How much our Lord loves us that he would predestine us to live at this time. How magnificent is this? How magnificent is this? And all he says is, I got to find purity, upright working, and love in your soul. You've got to become my mirror. You've got to reflect me, Jesus says. He says, and the sign of all of this, my glory, he says, purity, upright working, and love, the sign of all this is the soul being filled with peace. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. That's what God's waiting for in us. What bothers you? That has to be conquered. What distracts you? That has to be conquered. What annoys you? That has to be conquered. How is it conquered? Jesus says it's very, very clear. You have to be pure. You have to be upright. You have to be in love. You have to be like Jesus. What did he do when he was in front of Caiaphas? What did he do when he was in front of Herod? What did Jesus do when he was in front of Pilate? What did he do? He forgave them. We're put in situations like that throughout the day. There are some people who do not like us at all. And God knows that. And if when we get upset about that, Jesus says, you know, I am the Son of God. And they hated me. They despised me. They ridiculed me. They spit at me. They mocked me. They slapped me. They crucified me. And I forgave them. See, Jesus has taught us how to live, how to be a divine mirror of him. And he's really looking at us and he's saying, have you learned yet how to be peaceful in all situations? When you're like even in traffic and people are, you know, laying on the horns around you, filled with rage, where are you? Is it to be peaceful? Or do we participate in that? Again, you know, television, one of the worst things in the world today. When something comes on TV that is offensive to God, do we turn the TV off or do we go, oh, it's only for 5 more minutes and we sit through it? It's to say, this is offensive to God, it's offensive to me. He's my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. He's my all. We have to get to that point where if somebody is continuously cursing God, blaspheming God, you don't sit through that like, well, that's the way they are. No, this is offensive to God, and I am not going to be around this. You can say it at work. This offends me because it's offending my Lord. And if they keep on going, you don't have to be around them. See, Jesus is not saying to be angry at them, but this is how they were taught. This is normal for them. And for us, it's offensive. Blaspheming God has to be repaired and redone. The Lord might have you there to constantly be saying to the Lord, I'm sorry this is happening to you, Lord, and I want to repair this blaspheme, and all the blasphemes that you've gone through from the beginning of time to the end of time. I want to repair this as if none of this has ever happened. God goes, good. You're helping them get to heaven. You're renewing the face of the earth. Good. But when we get angry and give that face, that's not good. It's to repair and redo. That's what the divine will is. Repair and redo. So Jesus says the true sign of living, of reflecting Jesus, is to live in peace. Live in peace, live in joy, live in happiness. From this you shall be able to know how very scarce are the mirrors that I, God, have in the world. Let's look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. I have very, very few mirrors, divine mirrors, Jesus says. He says, would you want to be one? Would you want to be one of my mirrors? I have so few. Would you like to reflect me? And when we say, yes, Lord, he goes, good. Now I will teach you how to do this. And that is the book of heaven. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, Jesus is there with you. He sits right on the couch with you. He sits right next to you. And he says, let me tell you some more about how to become like me. Jesus he's very patient with us, number one. And he loves us so much that he is willing, get this, he is willing to forgive us of everything that we've ever thought, said, and done, and failed to do. He's willing to do that. Why? So that we can become like him. Image and likeness. So he looks at us and he says, how much do you want this? And when we say, yes, I want this completely, excuse me, he says, good. He says, in fact, very, very few are the peaceful souls. Very, very few are the peaceful souls. A lot of times what God does is he separates us from everyone so that we can be peaceful. Sometimes what happens in situations, when you have a near occasion of sin, of becoming angry or getting somebody else angry, God separates them. Why? So that they can become peaceful, joyful, and happy. Volume 10, 2, 10, 19, 12. On the other hand, when the soul leaves everything and operates and loves everything divinely, the soul enjoys my peace. And instead of having the sentinels and the eyes of the pricklings, she has the sentinel of peace that moves anything that can disturb her peace away from her. And the eyes of love that put to flight and burn those who want to disturb her. So here it is. It's not eyes of anger. It's not eyes of hate. It's not eyes of misery. It's eyes of love. What does it do? It puts to flight and burns those who want to disturb you. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He says, if you operate and love everything divinely, you will enjoy peace. What does that mean? You have to see things from a divine perspective. You have to understand things from a divine perspective. That's what the church teaches us. You know, why you fast an hour, at least an hour before receiving Holy Communion. Why you genuflect when you go into church. Why you bless yourself, you know, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What is it supposed to do? It brings everything divinely. You operate and love divinely, and then you can enjoy the peace of Christ, the love of Christ, the happiness of Christ, the joy of Christ. That's heaven. God wants us to, may your kingdom come on earth, this dust, you and me. May your kingdom come and reign in this dust on earth as the saints reign in heaven. God goes, I want you to begin to live this. Now is the time that this is happening. Would you be willing to be peaceful, joyful, and happy? Would you be willing to allow the Lord God Almighty to begin to reign in you in such a powerful way? God's got plans. He loves us very much. And all that he's asking is, he's saying to us, begin to operate, begin to love everything divinely, as Jesus did, as Mary did. When you are working, sing a song to God. Sing a hymn to God, praising him and loving him and glorifying him. That's the thing that's so astonishing. My mom used to sing all the time. She had a nice voice, a beautiful voice. I could always hear her in the choir. Her voice was amazing. But she always was singing when she was washing the clothes, or when she, you know, washing the dishes, or hanging the clothes outside, or vacuuming, she was always singing. She loved to sing and praise God. When we learn how to do that, your life is peaceful, joyful, and happy. God, he's trying to show us how to live heaven on earth now, not to wait until we die to experience heaven, but to live heaven now. So Jesus says, these souls, they remain at peace with regard, other souls remain at peace with regard to that soul, and they give that soul peace, and they place themselves at that soul's disposal. It's, nobody wants to be around a miserable soul. But a peaceful soul, everybody loves to be around. A peaceful soul is a soul where Jesus is. And you want to be around that soul. A peaceful soul is where the Blessed Mother is. And you want to be around that soul. That's what God is asking of us. Be filled with peace. Be filled with joy. And again, glorify God in song. Praise God in song. Sing to the Lord, adoring him and loving him and glorifying him. Sing to the Lord. I tell that to people who are discouraged. I said, put on some good Christian music where they're praising God. It drives the demons away. Demons don't want to be around anybody happy. The demons want misery because they're miserable. The demons want terror because they're terrorized. The demons want fire and brimstone because they're being consumed in hatred. Our job is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Jesus is showing us this. He says very clearly, they place themselves at the soul's disposal. It seems that the soul can say, nobody touch me, because I am divine. And I am fully of my sweet love, Jesus. See, he wants us to empty ourselves of all that is human misery. He wants ourselves to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. He really does. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. He says, empty yourself of all that is miserable. He says that to Louisa. Give me all your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin, and I will give you a share in my divinity. He says, I don't want you to be miserable anymore. I don't want you to be afraid anymore. Surrender all that to me, Jesus says, so that I can be your Lord, your Savior, your Master. And you can begin to live a life of heaven, a life of peace, joy, and happiness. And what we say to Jesus is, if I give that to you, I won't have it anymore. God goes, absolutely right. Give it to me. I'll take care of it. You won't have to worry about it anymore. And then what we say to Jesus is, you really want to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King? And he goes, yes. And then Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. I'll take from you all your misery. And in return, I will give you my divine will. That's the book of heaven. And as you read it, as you study it, as you put it into practice, as you get deeper and deeper into this gift of gifts, you begin to live heaven. You begin to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in a way that you never have before. Why? Jesus is there. Our Savior, our King, our Master is there, waiting for us to allow Him to truly be the Lord of our life. What a great God we have. Nobody can touch me because I am divine and I am fully of my sweet love, Jesus. Can we say that? Can we say it? Jesus says, I want you to share in my divinity. And that's just not a glimpse. That's not a drop. He says, I want to fill you to overflowing. Nobody can harm me because I am divine. I am fully of my sweet love, Jesus. You aren't divine. I am full of Jesus. He is reigning in me. Do you see what God wants? He wants us to allow Him to truly be the Lord of our life. Nobody dare to disturb my sweet rest with my highest good. Nobody's going to bother you. They won't disturb you because you are one with Christ. Nobody can harm you because you are one with Christ. Nobody can pull you down into the mud because you are one with Christ. That's what the divine will is. You're filled with divinity. Why? That's Jesus. That's what he's saying. Nobody dare disturb my sweet rest with my highest good. And if you dare to, with the power of Jesus that is mine, I shall put you to flight. You see what Luisa is saying to us? This is what God gave to her. And Luisa is saying, you can possess this just like I do. She says, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. But Jesus gave this to me. Mary gave this to me. And that's what God is asking for. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Not to wait until we die. We've got to begin to live this now. It's very, very important that we begin to understand this. If we don't, then we're in serious trouble. If we don't, like he says, if I don't see this in the soul, that soul filled with peace, joy, and happiness, he says, I don't have a mirror that I want. He wants us to be truly become a divine mirror. He's asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says very, very clearly to us to pray this prayer of Luisa. Nobody touch me because I am divine. God is reigning in me. I am full to overflowing with my sweet love, Jesus. And nobody will ever dare to disturb my sweet rest with my highest good. But if you dare to, with the power of Jesus that is mine, I will put you to flight. Why? This is the intimacy, one with God. This is what God is waiting for. This love that Adam lost, this true love of Jesus, this true love of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, they want to fill us with this. So our God is looking at us. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. And all that he asks of us is we give our fiat. 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 In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.